Our reading today is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. But before we read it together, I invite you to bow your heads as we pray for open hearts and minds to receive God's word. Merciful God, thank you so much for this beautiful day, this awesome opportunity to be in your presence with fellow believers, both in person but also online. And we thank you for that ability to be able to be together regardless of where we find ourselves. Thank you for forgiving us again this morning. Thank you for music that lifts us up and enables us to worship you. We thank you for our children and for your message for them and your love for them as well. And God, we thank you for your word, which we're about to now read together. And I pray that your word will powerfully speak to us, that your spirit will enable us to take it in and to process it and to be changed by it. So bless us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus, amen. So Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20. And these are Paul's words to the people in Ephesus. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. So let me see how many of you are wearing wristwatches. Two people, it seems like. So the rest of you, how do you tell time? Dennis is showing us his cell phone. There's another phone up there. I mean, I can't remember the last time anyone asked me, do you have the time on you? Because it seems like everyone has something physical on them that tells them the time. Well, regardless of what timepiece you carry, I think it's clear that we live in a world that is kind of obsessed with time. We are very aware of time. So we have multiple apps tracking our calendars or managing deadlines or how much time it will take for us to get to our destination based on real-time information. We have time staring at us from the corner of our computer screens to the dashboard of the car. So time is really everywhere, everywhere. In some cities, you can look up at some classic clock fixed on the side of a building, marking time for generations. In Mecca, for instance, in Saudi Arabia, you can't help but see a tower with a clock that is 43 meters in diameter. That's pretty big, almost as big as a luxury yacht. Tom, what is that, like five times the size of your boat? More? And it's a tower on a tower that is 2,000 feet tall. I mean, so just imagine that. So everywhere you go in the city, you can basically see this gigantic clock. Or maybe you're more familiar with the Big Ben in London, which is arguably the most famous clock in the world. Even though it's only 6 meters in diameter on this 96-meter high tower. So the question is, what time is it? I don't know if you remember, I mean, I'm not sure if they still do it, but they used to do it on one of the local TV channels, just before the local TV news at 10 o'clock in the evening. They used to say, it's 10 o'clock at night, do you know where your children are? Anybody remember that? Do they still do that? I haven't watched local news for a while. Well, they have something similar in France, by the way, except they say it's 10 o'clock at night. Do you know where your husband is? And in Italy, they say it's 10 o'clock at night. Do you know where your wife is? And in South Africa, they say it's 10 o'clock at night. Do you know what time it is? I mean, for some of the small, or from some of the small clocks on our phones to some of the biggest clocks in the world, us humans are kind of obsessed with time. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we have learned how to spend our time well, does it? You'd think that the multitude of clocks in the world would make us better at managing our time. But the truth is that time management is one of the biggest stressors in our culture today. And we work too many hours with too many distractions, and we're trying to squeeze more into less time. It's kind of like the first grader who asked his mom, why daddy is always bringing a briefcase full of papers home every night. And so she explains, you know, well, it's because daddy has so much to do that he can't finish all of his work at the office, and so he has to work at night as well. And so the child says, well, then why don't they just put him in a slower group? You know what Robert Frost said? By working faithfully 8 hours a day, you may eventually be the boss and work 12 hours a day. And then there's something called procrastination. Does that word have any particular meaning to anybody here? I used to be a procrastinator, by the way, and then I married my wife, Annalise. And she kind of like kicked me in gear. But some of us keep putting things off only to find that we are now even more squeezed for time. And so I guess you could say that one of the most important things clocks do is they remind us that time is really slipping by. And this relentless ticking of the clock is what the ancient Greeks referred to as chronos time. And that's where we get chronological time from, chronos. It's the kind of time we're always tracking and managing and running out of, chronos. And I can tell you that the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Ephesians, didn't wear a watch or carry a cell phone. But he was nonetheless always aware of the time. A different kind of time, though. Not the sort of time you get by glancing at your watch or some clock on some tower. No, Paul actually kept a running clock in his head, and instead of tracking the chronos, he was far more interested in redeeming the kairos. You see, kairos time, it's the kind of time most often mentioned in the New Testament. And what kairos refers to is not chronological time, but more of a decisive time. Kairos refers to the right time, the appropriate time. It's about the moment when God intervenes, or the moment when God is about to intervene in human history. Kairos. But the word also means the time that God's people have to prepare for the ultimate kairos. And the ultimate kairos is when all time will eventually run out. When Jesus will return for his second coming of what the Bible refers to as the judgment day, the ultimate kairos. And that's why Paul tells the people in Ephesus to make the most of the time they have. He says in verse 15, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil." He says, seize the moment, seize the day. Take advantage of the kairos that is given to you. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. In other words, it's a kairos expectation, making the most of our time, that should fuel the management of our chronos, the minutes we have each day. Let me say that again. It's our kairos expectation that should fuel our chronos. Now, a few verses earlier in this chapter, Paul calls on his readers to set the alarm clock. He tells them that the darkness of evil is about to be exposed by the bright dawn of God's coming kingdom. And so he says, don't take part in doing those worthless kind of things that are done in the dark. Instead, show how wrong they are. He says it's disgusting to even talk about what is done in the dark, but the light will show what these things are really like. Because the light makes everything visible and the dawn is about to break. So wake up from your sleep and rise from death, and then Christ will shine upon you. Wake up, he says. Be careful how you live. Live like wise people, not unwise people. Act like people with good sense. Don't act like fools do. Watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. This way, you will make the most of the kairos. This way, you will live in ways that are consistent with the coming of the Lord. You'll be in step with His kingdom and not in step with the present evil that governs the daily calendar of much of the world. So do not be foolish, he says in verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't live carelessly, he says, unthinkingly, but know what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the Master Jesus wants, which is living in the light and not living in the dark. So how do we do that? How do you live with a kairos mindset in a chronos world? How do we become more in step with what Jesus wants for our lives? Now, for Paul, the way that we become better kairos managers is by being filled with the Spirit. And so he says, don't destroy your life by getting drunk, but let the Spirit fill your life. He says in verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't drink too much wine, which cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Take huge drafts of God. Because you see, in the day of Paul, many people believed that by being drunk, it could actually produce inspiration or possession by Dionysus. And Dionysus was the god of wine. And I think many people in our day also think that they will get inspiration or at least medication by being intoxicated. But not just with alcohol. You can get intoxicated by money. You can get intoxicated by sex or by power. You can get intoxicated by the use of social media. It's not just about trying to drink your problems away in today's world. And so what many of us do is we structure our time around all of these things. We arrange our lives around these things. We pursue these kinds of things with relentless vigor, money, or power, or sex, or entertainment. And why? Because we somehow believe that those things will bring us happiness. That they will bring us fulfillment. But all these things are only short-lived. They don't last very long. And what they can be are time killers. Don't drink too much wine, says Paul. Don't be drunk with wine or these things, because that will ruin your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit fill your life. This way, you will be able to face the present world, not with songs of drunken parties, but with spiritual songs, singing hymns instead of drinking songs. He says, be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, life in the Spirit is life in Kairos time. And as the people of God, we set our watches and calendars by that standard. In Boulder, Colorado, there's what's called the National Institute of Standards and Technology Atomic Clock. And if you happen to have an atomic clock in your house, then it's accurate to the second, because it synchronizes automatically by radio frequency to this clock in Colorado. And so the watch on your wrist or the clock on the tower might be a little fast or a little slow, but the NIST clock in Boulder is always right to the second. And you can say the same about the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit who calibrates us toward being right with God's time. It's the Holy Spirit who has the ability to keep us accurate in our faith and how we actually live out our faith. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to live with a Kairos mindset. And a Kairos mindset will help us to make the most of the time. And so again, making the most of our time is about how our Chronos, how we use our Chronos to focus on the Kairos. So let me close with just a few questions that I believe we all need to ask ourselves this morning. So when I look at my own life, or when I look at my calendar, how do I use my time to cultivate my relationship with God via the Holy Spirit? So does my daily rhythm, for instance, include time that I dedicate solely to prayer? Prayers to God, in which I, says Paul, Give thanks to God in all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does my daily rhythm, my time management, does it include time for prayer? It's the first question. Second question. Do I search the scriptures daily to understand what the will of the Lord is? So do I spend time in God's word and allow the Spirit of God to help me find out what it is the Lord Jesus wants me to do? Do I make time for God's word in the management of my time, in my chronos? And the third question, do I participate in weekly worship with God's people, where I can be filled with the Spirit and sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs as I praise the Lord with all my heart? So I do I come to church and allow my internal clock to be set again to God's time, to God's purposes? Do I make the time at the beginning of each week to come and worship Him as the God in whom I live and move and have my being? So what time is it? Paul would say it's time to wake up. So may the clocks that we see each day, all of them, everywhere, remind us to wake up and to stay awake instead of just letting time tick away. We need to use it to put it to God's Spirit's use. For the time is coming when the light of God's glory will flood all of creation. And maybe you will still be alive when that day comes, or maybe you will have passed away for a long time by then, when God's light will be pushing out the darkness and bringing the dawn of a new creation. And so whether it's the tiny chip in your smartphone or the clock on a gigantic tower in Saudi Arabia or England, or every tick of the clock and every hour this church bell tolls on the hour, it brings us closer, one step closer to that day. And because you're a child of God, it's not something you have to be afraid of. It's something to look forward to big time. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, we all acknowledge here today that we waste so much of our own time. I thank you for Paul's letter to the Ephesians, his encouragement to them to make the most of the time, to use our chronos so that we can have a kairos mindset, to let our chronos serve the kairos. Help us to allow your Spirit to adjust our inward clocks to your purposes. Help us to be aware of the time and to make the most of our time for the sake of your kingdom as we anticipate and await the ultimate kairos, when your Son will come again, when light will finally overcome all darkness, and when a new creation will dawn that will ring in your kingdom that will last forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, I pray that. Amen.